It is a joy to be with you again. I think we were here about a year ago, and not exactly knowing what was going to happen with us, but we just praise the Lord how He has led and guided us. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to be reading verses 14 through 22 to the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to the end of the chapter. And to the angel of the Lord of And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of the good of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and be he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage that we just read. And Lord, it's a very serious passage. And we pray that you might open our hearts, Lord, as we look into this passage and see how we can learn from it. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in this fellowship again and be able to renew our fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ here in Raleigh. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we see this passage, and it's a passage that you probably have heard before. You might have even heard messages on it before. But we see that here in verses 14 through 17, we see that the Lord Jesus tells John about the different churches. Now, a lot of people try to put, looking at church history, they put all these churches into some type of a time frame in the history of the church. And it sounds good, and it might be true, I don't know, but I'm not trying to do that. But I do feel like that in this day and time that we live, we might be in this Laodicean age where the churches have become very lukewarm. And we see here that the angel of the Lord here is talking to the different churches. Sometimes Bible scholars say that the angel here is actually the pastor of the church, that he's talking to the pastor of the church of Laodicea. Don't know exactly, and we're not going to try to make this into an issue, But we see here that the Lord is trying to speak to the different churches and trying to give them a message that they need. And today, living in a life, in a time that we're living in now, we're seeing that maybe we are in this Laodicean time. We see in verse 16 where he talks about being lukewarm. I have a grandson, and Andrew and I were kind of like this. We have 8 grandchildren, and I don't have any specials, but I do have an Andrew that kind of sticks to me like glue. He loves to be with his opa. And he's even able to come every morning because his mother is a teacher. She has to be at school at like 7:15. And so she drops him off at our house, and he has breakfast with us every morning. But Andrew, he's my buddy. And we have a good time together. But because he's my buddy, sometimes I spoil him rotten. He loves McDonald's. And in the summer, and this is something I can't understand, he loves iced coffee. No sugar in it, just cream. And I whenever he first ordered that, I says, Andrew, don't you know that is nasty? I love coffee, but it's got to be hot, sweet, and white. So he gets that, and big, huge cup of iced coffee. Now, that would make me spew that coffee out of my mouth. But the Lord talks about here that he would rather for us to be hot. My mother, I came home one time from Germany when she was in the hospital and down in Florida, and I spent some time with her in that hospital room, even stayed there overnight. And I can remember when she finally got her first cup of coffee after she had had a stent placement. She had her first cup of coffee, and it was steaming hot. And she loved it. And I'm kind of that way. I like my coffee good and hot. And just either have it hot or like Andrew, have it cold. But the Lord said, if you're lukewarm. Now, whenever I have my coffee, I usually try to, I have 2 cups of coffee a day. I have my 1 cup when I eat my breakfast. And then I have my second cup, my golden cup, when I just sit there and chat with Linda and I drink my second cup of coffee. But it has to be good and hot. And I sometimes, whenever we're busy and having to do something, sometimes I'll put the coffee over the side and I'll tell Linda, I'll say, I'll drink it up before I leave. But by the time I get back to my coffee and I take a sip of it, it's lukewarm. And I just go and throw it out in the sink. But it's, that's what the Lord's trying to tell us here. He says, you know, I would rather for you to be hot, really burning for the Lord, or I'd rather for you to be cold, that people can know beyond a shadow of a doubt what kind of spiritual condition you are. But when you're lukewarm, the Lord says, you make me sick to my stomach. And we want to look at the sin of lukewarmness. The lukewarm Christian. This is a sin that is so subtle. It's a sin that a lot of people don't even recognize in their life. You know, if you see someone that is committing adultery, we know that he's a sinner and he needs to get right with the Lord. Or if we see someone that is a drug addict, yeah, that right there shows you that he's a sinner and he needs to really get right with the Lord, whether he's a believer or not. But we see here that this sin of lukewarmness is a lot of times very subtle. And we see right here in verse 17 that this church in Laodicea, they overestimated their spiritual condition. Because thou sayest, the Lord was saying what they said about themselves. And maybe Victory Baptist Church could put themselves in this and say, okay, what do you say about yourself here at Victory Baptist Church? Because thou sayest, I am rich. Apparently they had a good budget and everything was paid for. And increased with goods. Maybe they even had a big, huge missions budget and are supporting missionaries all over the world, and their pastor is doing well financially because they're able to pay him a good salary. And I have need of nothing. You know, we don't have to worry about the funds. Which we realize that it may be the blessing of the Lord, but yet here we see this church that was increased in goods, had everything they needed. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So they overestimated themselves. They said that we are just rich in goods and everything's going hunky-dory. But they did not estimate what God knew to be true of them. And we just read that. They were wretched. Their comfort and pride had blinded them to the truth. My wife and I, at breakfast, we always wait till we finish our breakfast. And then we've always had family devotions when the kids were little, or as we called it then, Bible time with God. And we had this booklet that we used when the kids were little, and somehow or other it has stuck. And it's called Dwell Now. Very good booklet. It goes through a week. You have a topic for the week. You have a memory verse for the week. And the kids used to learn those memory verses. And this week, my wife and I did a topic in this booklet, and it was called Blind Spots. You ever been driving on the interstate and you see somebody that just starts pulling over and you think, didn't he look? Well, he might have looked in his rearview mirror, but he didn't see the blind spot. We always learn to look with our eyes to make sure that you don't get into that blind spot. But Christians have a lot of blind spots. Christians have this tendency to see other problems that other people have, sins that they have. Christians have a tendency to always pick on somebody else, but they don't see their own problems. They have blind spots. They're not seeing the sins that they have in their own life. And so here we see they had the blind spots. And blind spots, we came to the yesterday and saw that really and truly when we have blind spots, we are not trusting God. And that is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to trust Him completely. They had an inability to see who they really were before God. Can we be honest with ourselves and maybe evaluate ourselves according to this passage that we're looking at today? We see they had a solution for this blind spot, this solution from this lukewarmness that was given to them from God. In verse 18, we see, I counsel thee. The Lord wanted to tell them exactly how they could get over lukewarmness. And remember, lukewarmness is very subtle. We can have people that are going through the motions and they look like they are spiritual and yet they're lukewarm. And the Lord tells us, He says, I counsel thee. And He told them exactly how they could get over this lukewarmness. It begins with listening to God. And make sure that you're very sensitive to what the Lord tells you about being lukewarm. It demands repentance. And we see that at the end of verse 19. And as many as I love, I rebuke. Remember, that tells us a little bit about what the writer of Hebrews tells us. He says that if you're a son, I will chasten you. And here he says, those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. And you know, I remember when our kids were growing up, my mother said that to me, and I said it to my kids, and they're saying it to their kids now. whenever you got in trouble and you need to have some discipline. You always heard your mom and dad say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Now, to me, I never understood that because I was on the other end of that paddle. It's about like the doctors, you know, that are standing by the bedside and you're getting ready to go into surgery and they're saying, now this isn't going to hurt. Right. You're on the other end of that scaffold, not here in the bed getting cut on. I am a chicken and I am a just very, I'm a coward when it comes to pain. And it doesn't make any difference. They'll come in and say, this is going to be minor surgery. When it's coming to me, it's major. So we see that the Lord, because He loves us, He's going to chasten us and rebuke us. And that's what He did here. But what did He say? Therefore, repent. Repent. So it demands repentance. Now, what is repentance? It's interesting that repentance in the Catholic Church, in the German language, is the same word for repentance, Buße tun. But repentance has something to do, whenever you repent, when you repent, that means that you are going in one direction, away from God. You can do this as a Christian as well as an unsaved person. But a Christian can be going and doing his own thing, doing the things that pleases him. And the Lord is saying, come on now, you need to repent. That means to turn around, a turnabout, and start going towards what God wants us to do. That is repentance. And that's what is demanded if we're going to have the solution to this lukewarmness. It requires turning to God. Repentance meaning turning to God. Repentance always, always involves a turning away from unto the Lord. And then we see also they had an invitation from the Lord to come close again. I like this passage of Scripture here in verse 20. Behold, the Lord tells them, I stand at the door and knock. You know, here in America, sometimes our doors, you know, or at least our door there at the Mission House at Union Grove Baptist Church, I can unlock it, and that way Andrew can come on in whenever he gets there, and we don't have to go and open the door. You can have it locked, but you can also have it unlocked, and you can turn the knob and go on in. Well, in the biblical lands, we see that at that time, they didn't have those kind of doors. As a matter of fact, when they shut the door, they could have some kind of a bolt across there, a plank that would keep the door shut, and you could not open it from the outside. And so Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. He couldn't just go on in like Andrew does every morning. He had to knock on the door. And he had to wait for us to go and open up the door. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, maybe they didn't hear the knock, and he had to say, Lomax, let me in. Or Victory Baptist Church, let me in. And if you hear my voice and open your heart's door, open the door of the church to let me in, then we see what he's going to do. I will. That's a promise. I love those I wills of the Lord. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we see that the Lord gives us a promise. I will. Do you think that the Lord is ever going to not keep His promise? He is going to keep His promise. Just like He says that you're in my hand and no man will pluck you out of my hand. And here we see that he promises, I will come into him if you'll just open the door. That's the solution to this lukewarmness. Open the door, and I will come in, and will sup with him, and he with me. I don't think that it is as big of a thing here as it was in Germany. Even now, you're invited into a home, and you either have coffee and cake. And I mean, when I say coffee and cake, I mean coffee and cake. Our church has a lot of dinners together. We never have our cake right after we finish eating our lunch. We usually wait till about 3 o'clock, and then they have cleared off the buffet for the lunch, and they put these cakes on there, and it's a buffet like we're going to have in heaven. You know, it's just cake after cake after cake, and it is all kinds of cakes. And that's probably the reason why I had to start watching carbs like a hawk, because I would go through those cake lines and I would do like, I would let the Germans be my example. And they wouldn't put one piece of cake on there. Oh, there's another one. Put another one on there. And by the time they got through with the buffet line, they had 3 or 4, sometimes 5 pieces of cake on there and eat every one of them. Wonderful, wonderful. I hear that, amen. But we see that he says, come in and sup with me. And that fellowship around the table is so precious. And the Lord wants us to be near to him. Come in and be close to me. Why do people decline this invitation? The Lord says, you know, I'm giving you an invitation. I stand at the door and knock. Open up, and I will come in. That's an invitation from him to come in and have fellowship with you, with us. That's an invitation. But why is it that we don't do that? Well, I think a lot of times we don't want to change. We don't want to change our lifestyle, because when we open up the door and let Jesus come in into our life like he should, then we might have to change some things in our life. We just had a major renovation of our church auditorium in Lexington, Union Grove Baptist Church. And it was, the building is still pretty good, but the inside was really overdue for some updates. And so we took down all the, your church is kind of like ours is now, took down all the dark paneling. It was so dark, and we took that all down, and we put up sheetrock, and now it's a light gray. I guess this is kind of like beige, but it's a light gray. We even did the unpardonable sin, and we took the pews, because they were starting to get old and dilapidated. We took all the pews out, and now they have chairs like the wretched Victory Baptist Church has. I'm only joking. I'm only joking. Because some people, we can't do that. That is not right to get rid of all the pews. Because we had those pews when we got married 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And so it's because of change. And sometimes we're not willing to change. We're going to do things as we always have done it. And so that is one reason why we decline this invitation. Or we might look at other people, and that's really dangerous to compare ourselves to other people. I'm as good as most people. You know, I'm okay comparing ourselves to other people and not comparing ourselves to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:12 tells us at the end of that chapter, that verse, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves Paul tells us, are not wise. So if we want to get, if we want to be wise in this thing of getting rid of lukewarmness, stop comparing ourselves to other people. What is it that Victory Baptist Church has to do? Be willing to change, repent, first of all. Repent of any sins, of neglect, to where we have neglected things that we need to do. You know, we sang some songs this morning that are great. You know, I have a story to tell to the nations. But a lot of times because of lukewarmness, and I've been involved in missions. Before we even left Germany, Phil Council sent me over here every year to go to the different Christian schools and try to recruit short-termers or interns. And we invited them to come to the Germany Trek program. And talking to students in Bible schools and Christian colleges and universities, they are so afraid to step out and do what God wants them to do. And I think it's because they're coming from lukewarm Christian families, and they're Christians. They're going to go to heaven. But they're involved in this lukewarmness that we have in American churches. And we're seeing less and less young people giving their lives for full-time Christian service because we're not willing to get rid of the lukewarmness. So what do we need to learn by this passage this morning? The challenge in Laodicea was piping water from far away. And this gives us a kind of an idea as to what the Lord was talking about, the lukewarmness. Hierapolis had the water real, real hot. And my wife and I went over into the, it was the Czech. We went over there, and there's a city there that has the hot springs. Have you ever been there? No, but they had the hot springs. My wife even got one of those drinking mugs that they have. You go up, it's a public spring, and you go up and you fill up your little mug, and it has a built-in straw. I mean, it's out of ceramic. And you see people in the city just standing around sipping on this water. It's supposed to be very healthy for you. I mean, those people are going to live forever. but to me, it was nasty. Drinking hot water, you know. But that's the problem that they had with Laodicea. Back in Hierapolis, the water was hot. In Colossia, it was cold. By the time it reached that, it was piping the water, the hot water, down. By the time it got to Laodicea, which was right in the middle, guess what? It was lukewarm. So the cause of a lukewarm soul is too great a distance from the source. Do you get the picture? That's the problem. So if we have a church that is lukewarm, they're too far away from the source, which is the Lord Jesus. The cure for a lukewarm soul is to stay close to Jesus. And that's the key. So do we want to have a life that is hot like it was in Hierapolis? Or do we have a life that is cold like it was in Colossae? Or are we like the Laodiceans that got the lukewarm water? The cure for lukewarmness is to stay close to the source, to stay close to the Lord Jesus. Let's look in James chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 7 through 10 because I like the way that James puts it here. And it helps us to realize this is also a way that we can get rid of the lukewarmness. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look what James says here. Draw nigh. Get close to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will what? Run from you? Nope. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. You see, I think that people that are lukewarm need to come to the point of a broken heart and being willing to say, Lord, I am so far away from you that I've drawn lukewarm. I've drawn lukewarm, and I'm no longer that hot and burning person that I used to be. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. I am so convicted about this fact of the sin of lukewarmness that it burdens my heart and I become saddened by it. And then James tells us in verse 10, Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So we need to be willing to humble ourselves. And I'm not saying today that you have to come forward and kneel down and ask the Lord to get a hold of you and get rid of this lukewarmness to draw you closer to the source. You can do that right there in your seat. Because you see, in Germany, we don't even give invitations. Now, we give invitation in the fact that we challenge our believers to make decisions, and then we're always ready to talk to them after the service. But America has an invitation, and I really am not against invitations at all. I think sometimes a public commitment has a heavier, a way of causing us to see the seriousness of the decision. So I'm just saying that here, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will help you. So let God work his will in you today. Yell aloud no to the devil. Okay? No, devil. I'm not for all these different movies that is coming out, but my wife and I went with our grandkids and kids to see the movie A War Room. How many of you have seen that? Yes. And like I said, it's a movie, but I thought it was kind of interesting how that lady got to the point of going around the house and telling the devil to get out of their house, get out of their family, even open the door and says, there's the road. So say a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God, and he will be there in no time. That's it. And I know it sounds so simple. Sometimes things are so simple that we miss it because we just kind of skim over it. A loud no to the devil and a quiet yes to the Lord. Quit dabbling in sin. You know, there's a lot of things that we can... We were listening to BBN coming here today and... Robbie Zacharias. He was preaching today and he was talking about how we let sin come in. You know, nowadays in our church in Munich when we were starting the church there. Some of the believers, a lot of the believers, felt like that if you had a TV, you cannot be saved. So the first TV that we got, and it was like 5 or 6 years after we'd been there, we got a little bitty black and white TV, and we put it in a cabinet, shut the door so they couldn't see it. Because I don't really have a problem with TV. I don't listen and watch it very much, and if I do, ask my wife, I usually go to sleep. But they felt like that was the devil's box. And it really is true. Dr. Zechariah today, he said that every program that's on television now is trying to get across a point. And we're seeing more and more this thing of how that Satan is blinding the eyes of people because of the media. And we have a lot of it now with the internet and everything. And so we need to stop dabbling in sin. But we need to purify our inner life. Quit playing the field. When we hit rock bottom, we need to cry out to the Lord that He would cleanse us, purify us. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious with the Lord when we think of lukewarmness. Get down on your knees before the Master and ask Him to get rid of your lukewarmness and make you hot. I can remember when I got saved at the age of 10, in that church, and you might have heard my testimony before, but I'm from an unsaved family, very immoral, very dysfunctional family. And I can remember at the age of 10, the invitation would be given, and I would walk the aisle and come forward, kneel on my knees, and I'd pray for my family. And I was telling my family how to be saved, and I wanted to see them saved. And I was just burning for the Lord. And then I felt the Lord's calling me to preach at the age of 12, came up here to North Carolina to Piedmont Bible College. I was excited about it. I got into school, and all of a sudden, the Bible became a textbook. You know how it is in Bible school. Let's be honest with each other. And it was all a thing of, well, I got to learn the books and pass to be able to. And very easily, you go into a lukewarmness. And so when I went back to Florida to work, I wasn't so zealous for the Lord anymore. Even missing some church, going to other churches and kind of dabbling here and there. But we need to get on our knees and ask the Lord, Lord, I know that I am lukewarm. Be honest with yourself. I know that I am lukewarm. Do we want to see Victory Baptist Church grow? And I'm not saying to grow and become, compromised in certain principles that are very important. But I'm saying that we need to get out. There are people dying without Christ outside these doors. And it's your responsibility. I often struggle with this because I would love to see more of a evangelistic outreach even in our church in Union Grove. And we have a lot of opportunities to do evangelistic outreaches. So I've come to the conclusion, and I'm planning on doing it this summer, talking to our pastor, and I want to get you can't put tracks in the mailboxes, but I'm going to give the doorknob hanger with the message of the gospel and an invitation to the church. Have all these homes been reached here in this area? If you don't want to do a doorknob hanger, you need to go and knock on the door. And I realize that you'll be misunderstood as a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, but we need to get out and get the message to them somehow. It's your responsibility. Because we become lukewarm. Well, that's the way it is, Brother Lomax. We're living in the last days, and it's going to get worse. Well, I know that. But the Lord never said, go ye into all the world, including Raleigh, North Carolina, and preach the gospel to every creature until the end days, the end times are there, and then you can just stop. No, he didn't say that. So we need to be busy, and it's because we have become lukewarm. It's the only way that you'll get on your feet and out of the lukewarmness and seeing God use Victory Baptist Church for His honor and His glory. Let's bow in our prayer. Father, we thank You for the opportunity we've had to look at this passage. Lord, we want to be honest with ourselves. Help us to evaluate how we stand. Are we the ones that are in Hierapolis that is very hot because we're at the source of those hot springs? The source, Jesus Christ? Or maybe we're at Colossae that is far, far away from the source and the water's gotten cold. Or Lord, maybe we're just at Laodicea where the water is just lukewarm. And Lord, we don't want to make You sick to Your stomach. We want to be honest with each other and with You and saying, Lord, help me to be that fireball Christian, that hot Christian, and sharing the gospel with a lost and dying world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.